The coronavirus crisis is dominating nearly every part of our national news coverage, and understandably so. It's changing everything. But we aren't going to take our eyes off the big stories and ideas that are relevant to you right now, because they'll still be relevant when this pandemic ends. Among those, guns in America. For the last few months, we've brought you several series on this. We looked at the crisis of guns and suicide, explored the intersection between guns and domestic violence. Now we bring you the third and final series on guns and policing. How a police officer relates to and chooses to use guns is shaped in part by the training they get. So we're going to look at police officer training and what new officers learn about how and when to use their firearms during the course of their jobs. Seth Stoughton is an associate professor at the University of South Carolina School of Law. He spent 5 years as an officer with the Tallahassee Police Department, and now he studies policing and police use of force. He joined me to talk about his research, and I started by asking him, what are some of the first things that police officers learn when they start training?
Well, there are a couple of different aspects to their initial training. The first is basic weapon familiarization, understanding the mechanics of a firearm, as well as the mechanics of how you physically draw and acquire a target and shoot a firearm is sort of the basic first step skill. From there, officers move towards basic proficiency, essentially accuracy, and get a number of ancillary skills like firearms retention, for example.
And how long does that process take?
Firearms training in the United States averages about 60 to 65 hours at the various police academies in the country. It's the single biggest block of training right up there with combatives or non-firearms related use of force. Together, those two make up about 120 hours of training for officers on average.
So is this type of training actually effective? What are the experts saying about it?
The first thing they're saying is there's not nearly enough of it. I have never met a trainer or police instructor who wouldn't want officers to get substantially more training than they have time or resources to get. And the training that they want really falls into a pretty broad range. But one of the key things to keep in mind is a significant amount of police firearms training is static. It's officers standing on a line, drawing firearms, aiming at a target, and shooting at the target without moving, which is very useful as far as building basic skills, but does not accurately simulate the real-world environment where officers may need to be using their firearms. And as a result, the skills that officers are learning in training don't necessarily help them prepare for the environment where they may actually need to be using those skills, or even more importantly, making decisions about whether to draw and use a firearm.
So it's a question of discernment, because they can technically use the weapon. They know all the switches. They know how to load a gun or a rifle, but having them decide, in this moment, is it worth me pulling out my gun and potentially pulling a trigger? That's where you think the training falls short.
Yes, that's right. Like deciding whether you need to draw a firearm in the first place, deciding whether you need to fire the firearm, and of course, that only begins to scratch the surface.
So in terms of that training and the meat, there must be some lessons that are internalized during this training. How does that shape an officer's view when they're out in the field, the unintended lessons?
I don't know about the unintended lessons, but I can tell you there are a series of intended lessons that are sometimes emphasized and internalized a little more heavily than perhaps they should be.
Like what?
And, well, one of those is the what in police terminology is referred to as the reactionary gap. That is the amount of time that it takes before an officer can react to someone else's action. And one of the common drills is an officer who is interacting with someone who has their hand in their pocket, and the person withdraws their hand from a pocket to reveal a firearm and shoots the officer before the officer can adequately respond. The message that officers get there is that hesitation, even in the face of uncertainty, can be fatal, which is true, but that lesson may have implications. In my view, that lesson has implications other than the primary one that officers get. The primary lesson that officers get is you can't afford to hesitate because you'll get killed if you don't shoot fast enough.
What about de-escalation? How are officers trained in de-escalating situation and, if necessary, retreating as a way to save lives?
Officers, on average, don't get nearly the training that they should have in de-escalation or, frankly, other forms of tactical communication. So the last survey of police academies showed that less than 90% of academies were providing de-escalation or tactical communications training.
Less than 90%? That's extraordinary.
Yeah, less than 90%. Now, it is still a lot. It was still, I believe it was about 88%. But compared to the 98 or 99% of academies that are providing firearms or use of force training, the numbers are a little bit out of whack. And they're a little bit out of whack because officers talk to a whole lot more people than they shoot. And I don't mean to be glib about that, but in terms of the skills that officers will actually be using every day, they're going to need communication skills far more than they're going to need firearm skills.
Seth, it sounds like the perception from police officers, and in fact, much of the public, is that policing is a very dangerous profession where there's a high risk of being hurt or killed. Does that match reality?
Well, I do think it's important that we don't underestimate the risks of policing. The risks of an officer being exposed to workplace violence is significantly higher than most of the general population. The chances of an officer being killed in the line of duty are significantly higher than the chances of being murdered in the general population. However, in total numbers or percentage terms, the risks are still relatively low, and they're much, much lower today than they have been historically.
Seth, are there police departments that are changing their firearms training for the better?
Yes. Yes, absolutely there are. There are agencies that start with basic data collection. They require officers to report in some relatively abbreviated fashion how often and when they're drawing their firearms. This is critical, and it's unfortunately not as common as it should be. It's critical because it gives the agency, the administrators, and the trainers and instructors an idea of what officers are actually doing on the ground. And without that data, without that information, we really can't properly assess whether officers are drawing their firearms, for example, too often and too early, or not often enough and not early enough. We need information. So one, data collection policies are key. Two, there are agencies that have taken the tactical lessons to heart and are instructing officers to draw their firearms in more limited situations than has historically been the case.
Thank you so much. Seth Stoughton is a former officer with the Tallahassee Police Department and current associate professor of law at the University of South Carolina. Thanks, Seth.
Thank you for having me.
You can find all of our stories from this series at thetakeaway.org/guns.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.